You're listening to the Rusted Culture Podcast.
Of course it is, and I'm your host, Frank Ebersold. I want to welcome you back to the Rusted Culture Podcast. I hope all is well with you. And this week, we've got two things lined up that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about income inequality and the need for greed. The second thing we want to talk about, and I've got a question for you, is Bill Barr obstructing justice himself? Stay right there. Well, the gap between the rich and the poor is widening under Trump. That's nothing, that's no big story. We know that's happening. It's getting so bad, though, folks. It's getting so bad that even the rich are getting worried. That's how you know it's really bad. The system that has literally enriched the Donald Trumps of the world while you can hardly make ends meet and just sit there and suffer in silence has got to change. Folks, it's got to change or it's going to destroy you, the middle class, and our country along with it. Because our country is the middle class. Folks, that's the greatest percentage of Americans out there. Our country is the middle class. And if you combine the rich get richer politics of Donald Trump with his tax cuts for the rich and overdone tax cuts for corporations with the reality that we've got the worst skyrocketing deficits ever, you can see what's going to happen. And in fact, it's already happening right in front of us. Those policies created such large, huge deficits, Donald Trump's deficits, that he now has to force cuts to health care because of his deficits, and he's got to force cuts to Medicaid, cuts to Social Security. They're all on the block. And the thing about it is, the thing that makes it so insidious, not the fact that they have to cut the budget, because I know that has to happen, right? It's a part of running a business. It's a part of running a country. But the thing that makes this insidious is that they knew this was going to happen when they enriched themselves. I even told you last year that the tax cuts would lead to cuts that affect each and every middle class and poor American. And here we are, folks. We're at the point where the cuts are coming. They're coming at us like no tomorrow. Couple that with the fact that technology advances in the next 10 years and going forward even, they're going to be displacing jobs of many, many, many middle-class Americans when that happens. As technology advances, artificial intelligence advances, it's going to be displacing the jobs of many, many middle-class Americans. Even the so-called white-collar jobs aren't going to be safe, and I'm talking about jobs like accountants, things like that, traditional white-collar jobs, good-paying jobs. Well, they're going to be replaced too. Those that control the technology, the rich, of course, will benefit from this. So what I'm trying to say here, folks, is that you can't wait any longer. The rich are as concerned about what you will do to halt the inequality as the problem just gets worse and worse and worse, and they know it. They're concerned about what you will do to halt the inequality. So just take a second here and let's look at some things. Ray Dalio is the billionaire capitalist. He argues that the rich versus everyone else is an existential threat. Ray says that, "I believe all good things taken to an extreme can be self-destructive, and that everything must evolve or die. This is now true for capitalism." He's saying that capitalism, this is a billionaire capitalist, folks, he's saying that capitalism must evolve or die. The rich are sitting on a volcano of inequality that is going to explode if they don't fix it, and they know it. They know it. J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon wrote last week that capitalism enables competition, innovation, and choice. This is not to say that capitalism does not have flaws. that isn't leaving people behind and that it shouldn't be improved. They know it has to change, folks. The rich are sitting on an edge, literal edge of a volcano that's about to erupt, and they know it. Even the Federal Reserve Board in a new report say that 40% of Americans, they can't recover or they can't simply even pay for a $400 emergency expense. Maybe it's a couple of new tires on the car. Kids get sick. You name it. The Federal Reserve Board is saying that 40% of Americans can't cover a $400 expense that just comes in out of the blue. And if you're in the middle class, you know they come in out of the blue, left and right. So how bad does it have to get, folks, before we change this, before it destroys the middle class? How much worse? How much worse are you willing to let it get before you force the change? And according to Axios, the reality is irrefutable and startling. Since 1980, the incomes of the top 1% tripled, the top 10% doubled, and the bottom 60% of prime-age workers, their incomes were flat. How much worse can we let things get before we make a change? How much worse? Folks, it's your vote. Is that what can change this? Your vote can change this. When was the last time you heard Trump even talk about income inequality? Have you ever heard him mention those two words? The system, folks, it's rigged for people like him, and he knows it. That's why Trump talks about anything, anything but income inequality. My God, don't bring that one up. And your vote, folks, your vote can change this. Don't ever underestimate the power of your vote to change the income inequality that's crippling middle America on an increasing basis every year, getting worse. Your vote can change that. And you're going to hear him call your efforts to fix income inequality socialism. If you haven't heard it already, socialism, folks, it's the new McCarthyism. If you want to fix income inequality, you'll be called a socialist. Just get ready for it. They don't want things to change. They've got a good thing and they know it. They don't want that to change. The greed within them is going to make them fight like banshees to hold on to their grip of power. When you hear them call you a socialist for wanting change, all you really hear is that their need for greed, folks. That's the need for greed that you're hearing. We are the fix. Middle America, folks, we are the fix for their need for greed. Your vote is the fix that they fear the most. And like I've said before, socialism is the new McCarthyism. It's what they called Social Security. It's what they called Medicare, and even called FDR's New Deal, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal. They all called it socialism, all labeled as socialism. When I hear Republicans throwing around the term socialism, I hear fear. Fear that the system is that's now rigged for them will change. It's fear, folks. The 1% call it socialism when you refute their trickle-down theory that enriches the wealthy today. They call it socialism when you say the rich need to pay their fair share of taxes. They call that socialism. How dare you? They call it socialism when you talk about Medicare for all. Folks, they're really good at making excuses for essentially enriching themselves at the expense of the middle class, aren't they? They're really good at it. They've had years to perfect it. Their vitality depends on it. It's time to challenge the status quo. If you don't like the fact that the poor get poorer and the rich get richer, you've got to bust a move, folks, and vote. You've got to take the country right back out of their greedy little fingers. Don't buy into the Trump con game where he says he's for the little guy and then he turns around and passes tax cuts for the rich. Don't buy into it. Don't buy into it when he says he wants the best health care in the world, then joins into a lawsuit that basically is going to take health care away from 23 million Americans instead of fixing what we have today. Don't buy into that con game. Go ahead, ask Trump what he thinks about income inequality and listen to how he tries to tell you that he's for the little guy, but his need for greed says otherwise. The need for greed passed those tax cuts for the rich. And the need for greed wants to kill your best chances for a health care plan that works for all Americans. The need for greed is why he will fight to keep anyone from seeing his tax returns. The need for greed is why Trump never talks about income inequality. But we will. We'll talk about it, won't we? We're not going to let this issue die without a fight. Folks, stay right there. There's more to come. We're going to talk about Big Boy Bill Barr. Remember Shoney's Big Boy? Well, that's what we've got here with Bill Barr. Hang right in there, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. Well, so my question to all of you out there is this. Is Attorney General Bill Barr obstructing justice right here in front of us? Is he obstructing justice? Listen through this, and I'll explain why I think that this indeed might be the case. For one, we know that Attorney General Bill Barr has drummed up four distinct classes that he plans to redact from the Mueller report. The four classes that Bill Barr has come up with are these: information that could reveal sources and methods of investigation, grand jury information material, information that could jeopardize ongoing investigations, and details that would violate the privacy of those deemed peripheral to the investigation. The surprise here, folks, is what Bill Barr deems violates executive privilege. And he hasn't added that into one of his fourth classes, but it's going to be there. You can rest assured that he is going to redact information that he feels violates executive privilege because Trump is deferring to him for obvious reasons, which I won't go into. So in reality, Bill Barr is filtering out five classes, not four like he says. It's going to be five. Five classes of information from the report, not just the four like he says. Ordinarily, folks, that's the information that we in the public would get. That reduction, that filtration of information, that's normally what trickles down to us. But Bill Barr is also he's proposing giving that same information that we would normally get, all the redacted information, for those reasons I just mentioned, that information is what he's going to pick up and put down right in front of Congress. Specifically, the House Intelligence Committee, headed by Chairman Adam Schiff, and the House Judiciary Committee, which is headed by Chairman Jerry Nadler. They're getting the same thing that we get. The same thing. The public version. And keep in mind here that both House committees have clearance, specific clearance to deal with top secret information, especially the House Intelligence Committee, which specifically deals with top secret information all of the time. It's what they do, folks. It's what they do. Bill Barr's refusal to give the report to Chairman Adam Schiff and Chairman Jerry Nadler is obstruction of justice, in my opinion. And the House Intelligence Committee may have a claim to the information, according to Barb McQuaid. You may have seen her on some of the evening shows, Rachel Maddow. Barb McQuaid, who is a former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, she said in a call to reporters that one of the other exceptions to the grand jury secrecy rule is that an attorney for the government may disclose grand jury material to a federal official whose job includes foreign intelligence work. Well, that would be the Intel Committee. In a Tuesday's meeting, yesterday's meeting with the House Appropriations Committee, Bill Barr intonated that the special counsel was helping him cull the information in the redacted classes. Basically, that the special counsel was helping him choose the redacted classes and help cull the information. They're helping. He intonated that that was sort of their idea, too. But what Bill Barr, Attorney General Barr, didn't say, that it was, he didn't say anything that to the effect that it was the Mueller team's idea to redact the information given to the House Judiciary or Intelligence Committees. He didn't say anything specific to the effect that it was my doing. This is my redaction. He made it seem like it was all of their idea. It was the Mueller team's idea to redact this information that's being given to the House Judiciary or Intelligence Committees. He kind of made it seem, through a question that was asked to him, like it was something they all agreed upon, which I'm highly skeptical about. At this point, folks, we really need to hear from Mueller on who decided to redact all of these classes. If it's only big boy Bill Barr's idea, then once again, by filtering and redacting all of these classes down from the Mueller report, he is again obstructing justice. He made it seem like it was everybody's idea. And I want to hear from Mueller specifically. Was it Mueller's idea to help redact specific classes of information from the report? If the House Intelligence and Judicial don't have the information that they need to make their own informed decisions about what Trump may have done to break the law, because Bill Barr, number one, won't provide the unredacted report to him, and number two, implies that even so, Mueller's team has produced the list of areas to be redacted. That's how you obstruct justice, folks. This is how you protect the president, folks. By doing exactly what Bill Barr is doing, and he knows it. He knows full well that by withholding full information on the Mueller report, he's forcing this to be settled in court. Hopefully, I think his hope is that he can push this until way out, maybe best case, until after the election, the presidential election, push the whole report out there. Nobody will get diddly squat until after the election. That would be his best case scenario. And that's how he's protecting Trump from the real story locked inside the Mueller report. It's kind of a way that he can obstruct justice. I'd really like to know whose idea it was to come up with these filtered, redacted classes. And it doesn't end there for Bill Barr either, folks. By delaying the whole release of the Mueller report and all its salacious details, he's giving oxygen for his crazy spying on Trump's campaign conspiracy theories to just echo around Breitbart and all the different news outlets. We heard that happening today. By delaying the whole release of the Mueller report, he's giving these crazy ideas. Spying on Trump's campaign? But let's see the Mueller report, folks, and we can decide for ourselves if there was a reason for anyone to look a little closer at what Trump was doing. But he's not doing that. He's withholding the entire report so he can give more oxygen to these crazy issues. This is an attorney general that's doing this. An appointment by Donald Trump just basically pulled Big Boy off the street here, what, a couple of 3 months ago? And just in time to prevent the whole Mueller report from going public, but yet look like he's doing everybody a favor at the same time. And today we also heard that Bill Barr said he's forming a team to review the origins of the Trump-Russia probe. He's forming a team. And all I can say is this, release the full Mueller report, Big Boy, Bill Barr. And I think you may see why, if at all, the intelligence community had reason to track and look into Trump. Release the report. So the president himself today actually came out, and he likes to call this an attempted coup on his presidency, and says the Mueller report is treason. It's against the Constitution. Treason against the Constitution. All of this, folks. And we still have yet to see the report. They love the fact that you have no report to even begin to counter the argument that by simply conducting the Mueller probe, treason against the Constitution was committed. I personally don't think Mueller's team committed treason against the Constitution, folks. And all I can say is, Mueller investigators, if you're out there, if you're listening, the House Intelligence Committee has every right under the law and would sure like to see the full, unredacted Mueller report. If you're listening, it would sure be nice. And folks, I want to thank you for joining in. And that's the show for this week. And we've got some interesting things coming up here. We've got some interviews planned. And I hope you'll be able to join us for some of those. We've got some interviews just right around the corner that we're working on, along with the information that we bring to you every week as well. So until then, folks, I want to thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next time.